joy it is to worship with you today, and my heart is just filled with such joy for hearing our children singing, reading scripture. And in case you didn't know, that was my son on the piano and the prelude. So, proud mom moment. And, you know, as parents, we try to encourage our children to share the gifts that God has given them. And I'm so grateful that my son, as all of the children that we have seen, are in church on a Sunday morning worshiping God. And that is awesome. And so we're grateful to God for all of the children. And as we're talking about salt and light today, we have so many people who share their light in many, many different ways. We have those who help to conduct music and direct our choirs. And we have sometimes our unsung heroes, our tech crew in the balcony, who work very hard every week to make sure that we have music, lyrics on the screen, and that our live stream is up and running. We have staff who are here on Sunday, so we are appreciative to them and grateful to God for the hard work that all of them do and in the ways that they share their light with all of us. Yep. So I want to share this text with you, and this service has been a little more participation from all of us than some Sundays. And so I want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment and listen to the words of Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. And this is the Message Bible. And as we begin to open our hearts, let's listen to what the text says. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this moment in time. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the message. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, your message today. Help us to apply it to our daily lives, and help us to share it with someone who needs to hear from you. Lord, I ask that you would stand up in me, speak through me, that your people would hear your voice. It is in your Son Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. I open with a story about a man who I had the pleasure of having in my life 33 short years. He was a husband, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, and a veteran. He was a man who knew many people and one who many knew. He wasn't college educated. He never held what we would call a white collar job. He was not perfect. He made financial mistakes that resulted in consequences. He didn't always make good choices. He could sometimes be hard to reason with, and he was not one who went to church on a regular basis. He may not have even known much about God until later in life. This man, who I had the pleasure of knowing for 33 short years, was my daddy. And you may be asking, why would I share some of the challenging characteristics of who he was? Well, because it's important for us to know and accept that we all have challenging characteristics attached to our personalities. We are human, therefore not perfect. We couldn't be perfect if we tried, but we are covered by grace. But for the grace of God, I am who I am. And when I learned the text for this week in this series, the Sermon on the Mount, I was immediately taken back to November 13, 2004, the day I eulogized my father. And when I stood that cold winter day in Columbus, Ohio, I did not stand and recall those challenging parts of who he was. I recalled what he meant to our family and to countless others. The reality of our humanity cannot be denied, nor can the challenging characteristics of our personalities. But because of grace and mercy, God enables us to go before others with light and the salt we possess. And this text is where God took me to talk about my father. He was an amazing cook. He had been in the food business since his time in the military, which he went into the military at 17. And that, of course, that was long before I was born. But by the time I came along, he was working in five-star restaurants and doing extremely well in the food and beverage industry. He could cook anything: soul food, seafood, Cajun food, Italian food, French food. I remember being 5 years old going to the restaurant he worked at, and he came to the table and he was doing tableside cooking. Does anybody remember tableside cooking? And he was cooking escargot, so I was eating snails at 5 years old. But the list goes on of all the things that he could cook. So when I talked about him, I talked about his influence on others through his cooking. When you ate Julius Lovett's food, you tasted and felt the time he put into it and the depth of love with which he prepared each dish. That time and love was his salt and his light. Tasting and feeling the time and love, the salt in his dishes, resulted in a light shining so bright that others could not help but be drawn to it. I like a quote I read that says, "There's light buried in your soul, the same light that gives life to everything around you." So buried in your soul is light. Despite who we are and what we've done or what we may have been through that may not be like Jesus, there is light in our souls that will shine through and draw others to us. And this is important for us to grasp, because knowing we have this light in us, we want to take responsibility for following Jesus and allowing him to influence us to the point that we begin to influence others. And it's important to know, no matter who you are, where you've come from, or what you've done, that it's never too late to give your life to Jesus Christ and let your light shine. Submitting our lives to Jesus does more than get us into heaven. We have salt to spread and light to shine, and that salt and light comes from God through Jesus. Verses 13 through 16 of Matthew chapter 5 follow the opening of the chapter in which we learn the Beatitudes. Jesus is teaching his disciples, which is interesting because we learn here that there are times where Jesus speaks to those he knows belongs to him. He know they belong to him. So he reminds them and us through the word of who they are and who they represent. In fact, verse 16 is said to be one of 15 references by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount to God as your or our Father in heaven. And this is referring to our relation to Jesus as joint heirs. We are reconciled back to God, made to be in right relationship with God through our acceptance of and submission to Jesus Christ, therefore giving us access to the characteristics of Christ Jesus. That said, we are reminded, just as the disciples were, to be mindful of our influence on others, especially those mentioned in the Beatitudes, the poor, the sorrowing, the persecuted, the humble, the righteous, the merciful, the pure, and the peacemakers. These are precisely those categories of people too many of us tend to despise and ostracize. All of this can make life sound more challenging with Christ than without. But don't be fooled. Living a life with Christ does not equate to separating ourselves from the craziness and the darkness in the world, nor does it exempt us from the trials and tribulations of life. One way it's explained is salt and light arrest the decay and provides illumination for a lost and dying world. And when we think about salt and light, they both preserve, they soothe, and they heal. What a privilege we have as believers to be trusted by God, charged and encouraged to participate in the preservation and illumination of the least and the lost. It's a privilege we must not take lightly. Why? Because God, who is creator of all, through Jesus, tells us who we are and our purpose, and how special is that. And taking this privilege seriously translates to our influence on those whose salt may be flavorless and whose light has not yet been lit. Who we are and what we do has an impact on others, whether we want it to or not. Our influence is imminent, and it matters. We must always give deep thought to what our influence could be each day. Because when we see a unique person who possesses superior qualities in specific areas, he or she desires to discover why that person is different. A quote I read regarding our influence. People will have that same desire when they see us. Will we always get it right? Absolutely not. But with Jesus, as our assurance of pardon says, we are forgiven. There's enough grace to cover all our faults, all our flaws, all of our missteps, all of our sin. And for me, that is somewhat of a mystery. I relate to the songwriter that said, I don't know why he came to love me so. But he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Our need is that never-ending, undeserving, unwavering gift of grace. When we go back and look deeper into these verses in Matthew 5, we can surmise that light is necessary, it's nourishing, and it is an example. It's necessary, meaning it must shine. It cannot be hidden. No one's light can shine like yours. Just as your personality is unique, so is your light. There is something in your light someone needs that they cannot get from any other light. Light exposes the pathway, the right path to give guidance to go in the right direction, and it exposes the path when you don't want to go in that direction. It gives the guidance and a warning for where not to go. How can one see their way through your light if you don't allow your light to shine? Light is nourishing. It gives energy. It brightens one's environment. It lifts one's spirit. It helps one bloom. There's someone in your life whose very existence is nourished by your light. There are people who live without much exposure to light, light that can only come from us, the light that's in our souls that draws people closer to Jesus. When certain plants are without light, they droop. They look as if they're in desperate need of nourishment. So it is with our lives, we need light to bloom, to spring up and show how beautiful and gifted we are. And light is an example. Verse 16 talks about seeing our God, our good deeds and glorifying our God in heaven. Our faith on display, our love on display, our grace extended, our compassion for our neighbor, our generosity, our non-judgmental posture, our kindness, our study of the word, our worship of our God, are all good deeds, examples for men, women, boys, and girls to see. Sometimes we won't know who our light is shining on. We won't know who's looking at us, wanting to know how we could be so bright amid challenges and darkness. Let's not forget about the salt. If we lose our saltiness, we are no longer effective. And these four verses give specific reminders of who we are and are others, an impact that could change someone's life forever. It's a hefty responsibility. However, it's no heavier than the responsibility Jesus carried right to the cross. There is no responsibility and no sacrifice like that of our God, our Father, who gave his Son, and Jesus, our Savior, who gave his life. So our service to God is to be extensions of him through the spreading of our salt and shining of our light. When I began, I shared that I stood to deliver my father's eulogy, and I mentioned before that he did not come to know Jesus until later in life. And while my daddy's influence was through his cooking, and it was an influence not knowing there was a light present in his soul and salt that he had no idea how flavorful it was. But I believe God knew his heart and saw the need for him to see his influence and for others to experience his salt and light. And a few years before his death, in his 60s, my father told me he wanted to go to church with me. And that wasn't unusual because every now and then, he would say he wanted to go to church. But this time was different. It was this time that my father responded to the call for those to give their lives to Christ. I was overjoyed and shocked at the same time. But when I stood on that cold November day to talk about the man who blessed so many through his cooking, I could stand knowing that I would see him again. I could stand knowing salt and light were very real in his life, and that who he was could in some way draw someone else to know Jesus for themselves. Let us not ever get caught not allowing our salt to season, and let us not ever get caught dimming our light. They are both needed in this lost and dying world, and as believers and followers of Christ, we are charged with that very task. Spread the salt, shine the light. Now, as we come to the end of this word, I want to draw your attention to a song that brings so much joy. And do you all remember that song, This Little Light of Mine? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Now, do you all want to participate in worship and sing that song? Now, don't be afraid to show your joy, because our joy, someone can see it. Someone can feel it, and someone can hear it. So, let's all together, as we prepare to go out into the world, remembering the responsibility of our salt and our light, let us sing together as a charge to all of us and as a reminder that we should let our light shine, okay? Y'all ready? Who's going to start? All right.
I'm going to let it shine, oh, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Everywhere I go,
everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for the privilege of letting our light shine. We thank you that you are so awesome that you give us an unspeakable joy that we can share with others. Help our influence on your people be pure. Let our hearts be filled with so much gratitude that it shows others who you are. Help us, oh God, to always be mindful that we don't deserve any of the kindness and love that you give us, but you love us, and your grace is abundant, and your mercy is abundant. So we ask, help us, oh God, to let our light shine. Help us to remember there's light within our souls. And help us to not let anyone or anything dim that light within us. Help us shine our light on our children, on our coworkers, on our neighbors, on all of those who are around us, even those that we don't know. Help us to always be mindful and let our salt always be flavorful, seasoning throughout our time on this earth. We love you and we thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise, for we know there is none like you. We bless your name. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who so willingly died for us. And we thank you that through him, we have life abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.